they pursue will count for nothing.
Ladies, I sure have enjoyed the good singing today. It's been a real blessing, and I'm excited about what God is doing at the church, and I'm just looking forward to some of the things that are set for the year 2020. If Jesus doesn't come, we'll put these things into practice, and I just believe that God's going to honor them. If you can in any way make it tonight, and I know that the pastors and the missions committee will be in the meeting with the guest missionary, but if you can make it for the Wild Game Supper meeting, you come and be a part of that and see in what way you can help in this good evangelistic endeavor. It's a good evangelistic endeavor and a fun time too. And so you just come and be a part of that. Well, today we're going to talk some out of the book of Genesis. This year, the Lord willing, on Sunday mornings, I'm going to preach to you out of the book of Genesis, and on Sunday night, I'm going to preach out of the book of the Revelation. So we'll just go verse by verse through the book of Genesis and preach some meaningful messages, I trust. It'll help you on how everything got started. And then on Sunday night, we'll preach some meaningful messages verse by verse through the book of the Revelation on how things are going to end. And I'm glad that God tells us the beginning and the ending, aren't you? And everything in between. And so let's get right into this, okay? The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, of course, being the first book of the Bible, is part of a five-book section called the Pentateuch, in which means five writings, or the writings of Moses. Moses wrote the book of Genesis, as well as the first five books of the Bible. And the book of Genesis is kind of the seedbed of the Bible. In other words, a lot of what we find in the Holy Scriptures can be traced back and find its origin. And that's what the word Genesis means, beginning or origin, can find its origin in the book of Genesis. Now, there's four main events. Now, that's not the only events, but there's four major events and four major persons that the book of Genesis kind of centers around. And I want to give you those, okay? The events are in chapters 1 through 11. Chapters 1 through 11 of the book of Genesis covers these four events. Of course, the creation. And we're going to talk just a little bit about that this morning. Just a little. We'll get into it in more detail next week, the Lord willing. But there's the creation, and then there's the fall. And of course, we know that that's when Adam and Eve sinned, and well, here we are. And a terrible fix. But there's the creation, then there's the fall, and then there's the flood. And of course, we know about the flood, and that's why I believe that we experience a lot of cataclysmic happenings upon this earth, tsunamis, monsoons, earthquakes. It's because of the way that the flood, when the flood waters were upon the earth, it tilted her on her axis, and well, it causes some of these catastrophic things. One day, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that's going to be taken care of. But until then, well, we have to deal with these things as they come our way. So there's the creation, and then there's the fall of man. And by the fall of man, I mean that when man committed sin against God. And well, because of that, because we all come from that first earthly family, that first family, Adam and Eve, here we are. We're sinners. We're all sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there was the flood. And then, of course, the Tower of Babel. Now, the Tower of Babel explains a lot of things. It explains why there's different nationalities and why there's different people placement on different continents. And we'll talk about that and God's will for that. So those are the first, or the four major events that God deals with in the book of Genesis in chapters 1 through 11. Then in chapter number 11, at the close of chapter number 11, God kind of switches gears and he goes from talking about events. Now there's people within those events, but he begins to really highlight and to discuss individuals. The first individual, of course, is Abraham. He called Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees. And so that's Abraham. And then there was his son Isaac. And then Jacob, and then Joseph. And those are the four major persons that God deals with through that remaining part, chapter 12 through chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. And then, of course, we know that that book ends. In the book of Genesis, it ends with Joseph. And then the book of Exodus begins with a Pharaoh that rose up who knew not Joseph. And that's how the people, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, got into bondage. And, well, that's for another book. That's the book of Exodus. So here's these eight situations, these four major events, the creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, and then the four major people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, when the book of Genesis opens up, I want you to notice something that's very important. It says, in the beginning, God. Now, God nowhere in the Bible sets out to try to prove himself. See, God thinks, you know, if you got common sense, you just walk outside and look. Right. And, you know, there's a God. Amen. Right. The heavens, the Bible says, declares the glory of God. You can't go outside and look around and not know. This didn't just happen by accident. Listen, can I tell you, when the Bible says in Genesis 1, look at it here, in the beginning, God created. God created. We're not here by some galactical accident. collision of planets or whatever. That's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard in my life. We're not here by some evolutionary process where we are the top rung on the ladder. No, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created it. Now, how did God create it? Well, we know that God created it through his word, and the word is Jesus, and we'll talk about that when we begin to get into a little more in detail. But I do want you to know the power of God. I alluded to a little earlier about the stars, and I'll just ask you to go ahead and turn there in chapter 1, verse number 16. The Birkinshaws, I think, are upstairs today, and I appreciate they got me a coffee mug that has this verse on it where it says, and he made the stars also. Amen. That's just one of my favorite little phrases in the creation account. Because you're reading along and God's doing all these, I mean, these supernatural, super powerful things. And it begins about God putting the light, the sun and the moon and the stars in verse 14, 15, and 16. And then at the latter part of verse number 16, when it's talking about the sun that ruled the day and the lesser light, which is the moon at the latter part of verse number 16, to rule the night. And then look at what it says. He made the stars also. Amen. I mean, myriads and myriads, hundreds of millions of stars. When you go out and you look up, and God said, oh yeah, and by the way, I threw that in for your good too. Amen. Just go outside and look up at a starlit sky, and it's just a wonderful thing to know that there's a God in heaven, and there is absolutely nothing that he cannot do. Amen. Nothing. And so when it says in the beginning, God created, God just assumes now. He just says, I want to start with the fact that I am God. I'm not going to explain myself to you. I will manifest myself to you. And I'm glad that he did. And we'll talk about that before the sermon is through today. I will manifest myself to you. I will show myself strong to you. I will even communicate with you through a word that I will write. And he did, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And aren't you glad that he did? Amen. He said, but I will not explain myself to you. I owe you no explanation. The Bible has a special word for people who say that God doesn't exist. It's a four-letter word. And it's found in Psalm 14, one of the places, in verse number 1. It says that the man that says there is no God is a fool. And I'm not being ugly or mean, but I got to tell you, brethren, before I even became a Christian, I just knew that God existed. I just knew. How'd you know? Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. And perhaps you were here and you say, well, I didn't believe in God at one time, but now that I do. Well, thank God for that. You may even be here today. I don't know. There may be somebody here who says, well, I don't believe in God. Well, I hope that you'll listen very carefully. I hope you'll listen very carefully. Now, the Bible says in the beginning, we're in Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when you read through Genesis 1, you keep finding this statement. Let's just look at it. Are you there? Look at verse number 3. And God said, and look at the latter part of verse number 3, and there was. See, God spoke it into existence. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. And God said, and look at the latter part of verse number 7, and it was so. See, God just spoke and things happened. Called everything out of nothing. See, that's the God that I've talked to you about. I'm not talking about a God in your pocket. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about some God on the shelf. I'm not talking about some statue. I'm not talking about anything that you can make with your hand. I'm not talking about a man-made God. I'm talking about a God that made man. Something that's far beyond what my mind can comprehend. Far beyond what I can conceive in my little mind. God is the God who made me. And I want to give him all the praise and the worship and the glory that's due his name. Amen. He made it all, brethren. Don't you for a moment think, well, you know, there was a big collision of continents and this and that and explosion and bang, and we were all here. Listen, when things go bang, they go apart, not come together. Right. I've never seen an explosion where everything come into form. Right. Explosions cause things to go in all different directions, amen, and go fall apart, not come together. So, in the beginning, God spoke and God said, and it was. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 1 of Genesis. And God said, and look at the latter part of verse number 9, and it was so. See, everything God says is so. God called it into existence. God spoke it into existence. And so we find where God created. And God began to create days. Now I want you to listen very carefully. God began to make 24-hour periods of time. There's a lot of discussion about verse 1 and verse 2, and it's a gap theory, and it's based upon a theory of geographical or geological ages. You know, well, maybe there are hundreds of years between these times, and or thousands, or maybe millions of years. Well, no, we believe in the literal count of 24-hour days. Amen. Why do you believe that, preacher? Well, because the Bible says in the evening and the morning, look at verse number 5, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then when you read on, you'll find where it says, and the evening and the morning was the second day. Look at verse number 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And he went right on up through 6 days, and he made man. Now the word God, and I want you to notice this now, when it says in the beginning, you see that word God there? That word God, G-O-D, capital G. By the way, I don't care how fast you're texting or typing, when you use the word God, you use a capital G. My God is not a little G-O-D. Amen. He's a big G-O-D. Amen. You say, well, preacher, don't fuss at me. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just trying to remind you who God is. You see, God's just not some little character that we can put in a closet and then pull him out when we need him or when we want him. You know, he's not just a God that comes around when there's a crisis in our life. God wants to be an integral part of all that we do and be a part of all that we are because he loves us and he desires a relationship with us. Now, this word God, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but I do want you to understand something. It is the word Elohim, all right? It is a plural form. It is a plural form. And when you look down in chapter 1 in verse number 26, when God got ready to make man, he said, let us. Now, who was he referring to? God said, let us. He's speaking to the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, that doesn't mean there's three gods. That means there's one God who is eternally manifested in three persons. Now, you're a triune individual. See, and the reason you're triune, the reason I'm triune, is because we have been created. Look at verse number 26 of Genesis 1. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. See, you're more than just a body. Now, listen to me carefully. You're more than just a body. See, this is where people get messed up. They think, well, you know what? I'm here and I'm gone and it's over. That's not true. Hear me now. That's not true. It's not true. There's a time of reckoning when all men will stand before God. Those that are lost will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And we who are saved will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. But every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. All men will stand before God one day. All men. So you're not just like here and then you live and you die and it's all over. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the enemy. To cause you to not know that you have a day of account where you will be accountable. I will be accountable for my life before God Almighty. And so and here in Genesis 1, God made man in his own image. I'm a body, but I'm also a soul. And I'm also a spirit. See, my body is the vehicle of my spirit and my soul. And so I'm made in a triune way. Why? Because Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man. You see it there? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, you see. So we're triune. We're triune. We've been made after the triune God. Not three gods now. You're not three people. You're just one person. I look at you, I see your body. But inside of you, there's something I can't see. He's talking to you now, isn't he? She's talking to you now. Who? You. Your inside person. That's who you are. You stand in front of a mirror. That's not your body speaking. There's something in, listen, that's you. Your body's a vehicle. Don't you ever forget that. This old body came from the dust, and it's going back. Next week, I'm going to explain to you from the Word of God now how that you, two bags full of groceries, about all it takes to make you. We come from dust. There's about 15 or 16 chemicals that God formed from the dust of the ground when he made man in chapter 2 in verse number 7. He formed him like a potter had forming clay. He formed the body of a man, but that's not all that man was. Man did not become a living. So look at chapter 2 just for a moment of the book of Genesis. And look if you would in verse number 7. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. But man was not alive then. He was just a hunk of clay. And then God, look what it says, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living, not being now, soul. Not being, that's not the word. A living soul, an ever-living soul. Your soul is going to live somewhere forever. And so it's very important that you understand that. So God, in his creative work, he spoke and it was so. He spoke and it was so. We believe in the 7 days of creation. I could give you many reasons why, but I'm just going to give you one this morning. There's many reasons. See, God made the plant life on day three. If it was hundreds of years between the days, like some liberal theologians say, they would have had no light because the sun, the moon, and the stars are not made until the fourth day. Read the Bible. All right? Adam was made on the sixth day. He lived through the seventh day. If that seventh day that God chose to rest was hundreds and millions of years, the Bible says that Adam lived 930 years of solar days, which made up years. Amen. 24-hour periods. The evening and the morning were the first day. So don't get confused about, don't listen to people and say, well, you know, the earth is billions of years old. Nonsense. Nonsense. Well, that's what a scientist said. Well, that's not what God said. Amen. I think I'm going to go with God on this one. Amen. Since he made it. Amen. That's right. Now, God created. Let's look at a few things, and then I'm going to be through this morning. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts. I want you to write them down, okay? Now, I want you to think with me about this. When God in the beginning, look at chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1. In the beginning, God, look at that next word, created. That's where it begins. But can I tell you, this is not where time began. This is not where God began, but it is where time began. That's what I should have said. It's not where God began. Notice what it said. In the beginning, God created. In other words, God says, I want to introduce myself to you. I'm going to bring myself. Now, don't miss this. See, there's four times in the Bible. There's four books. Four times, one in each book, that it begins like this. Do you know what they are? Think about it. There's four books of the Bible that begins with beginnings. All right? You know what they are? Is your mind working hard? There's one in the Old Testament. We're in it. Book of Genesis. And there's three in the New Testament that begins with beginnings, and they have a great significance. I'm going to point those out. We'll be done today. But they involve you, and they involve me. And they tell a little bit of story about us. God says here in Genesis 1, let's look at this first day, this first beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to come out of eternity. Now listen to me. And I'm going to come into time. Isn't God gracious to do that for us? Because that's who he done it for, brethren. He done it for you and he done it for me. I'm going to come out of eternity. And I'm going to come into time. And I'm going to confine some things into days. Seven 24-hour periods. Days that will equal weeks. And then months. And then years. So that you can calculate time. And so that we can have communion one with another. And we can weigh and measure things by the days that God has given us. And so he said, I want to introduce myself to you as the God who made it all. And the God who has come down and made time for you so that you could calculate and have schedules and so that you could carry on in life in a way that would be very prosperous for you. Could you imagine what life would be without time? Could you imagine? You'd never know what time it was. You'd never know what day it was. You'd never know. I wake up during the night sometimes, and one of the first things I do is look at the clock. Is anybody else like that? I just wake up and look at the clock. Say, what do you do that for, preacher? I don't know. Maybe because I'm a nut. I mean, you know, what I need to know what time it is at 3 o'clock in the morning for? I don't know. But I just do it. Why? Time's important. The Bible teaches about the time to be saved. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for all things. See, God measures things for us, for man. He's gracious to us this way. That we can measure things in time. You see, in seasons. I'm glad that God done that for me. I'm glad that God does that for us. You see, we can tell when our days are waning. Could you imagine if you didn't know how old you were? Now, that's not to say that you've got to be old to die. You don't have to be old to die. You don't even have to be sick to die. Now, you know this. But I'm glad that God is merciful to us, and he made days for us and times so that we could measure things. See, God did that for you. God didn't have to do that. God did that for us. God put the sun in the sky and the moon to light the night and those wonderful stars that I love so much. God did that for us, brethren. God gave us water. God gave us land. God gave us vegetation. God gave us animals. God gave us life. God's just given it all to us. And we just need to bless his holy name and praise him And yet we go through life and we don't even acknowledge God, and we just think that all this just came about by accident or that it was owed to us. No, God in His goodness in the beginning in Genesis 1 said, I want to do this for you. God is good that way. You see, I said 32 times in Genesis 1, you'll see this word God. God, 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 God. Can I show you something before we move on? Look, if you would, in Genesis chapter 2. And look, if you would, at verse number 4. See, in Genesis chapter 2, something really important happens. In Genesis 2, well, we'll start in verse 1. The heavens and the earth, look at this next phrase, were finished. I want you to remember that word. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. We're finished. You know what God did? He rested. He ceased from His creative work. We call it a day of Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Many of you probably were brought up with a lot of conversation around the dinner table by grandma or mom and dad about a day of rest. Just resting on a day of rest. God did that. Now, God wasn't tired. He just ceased from work. Did you know God has made life so that it's good just to cease from work? You say, preacher, I'm going to work all day, every day. You're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. I'm for work. I think work is good for us. The Bible says it is. Amen. The Bible even says if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. So I'm for work. But now God said that 6 days shall a man work. But there's a time when we need to rest. These old bodies need rest. Amen. Now, we need some rest. And God came up with that. God came up with that. God wasn't tired. God just ceased and He said, I want you to learn from this. There's a time to work, but there's a time to rest. Because your body and my body needs to recharge. Or we'll get worn out, burnt out, and frazzled. We'll become irritable. And we'll become somebody that maybe other people don't want to be around. We might become somebody we don't even want to be around. We don't even like. When we don't follow God's way, you see. And so He said in chapter number 2, He said, and the heavens and the earth were finished. Look down in verse number 4. Now God had made man on the sixth day. Now this was the seventh day. And God said, I want to change who I am to you. Now God doesn't change. He said, but I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to manifest myself in a different way to you now. You know why God's going to do this? Don't miss it. Look at chapter 2, verse number 4. We're talking about the beginnings. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Do you notice something? It's not God anymore. It's the Lord God. You see that Lord there, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Yahweh, that's Jehovah. See, God never called Himself by that when He was creating. Read it in chapter 1 sometime. Just read it all the way through there in chapter 1. And you'll see where it says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God saw that it was good, and God said, and God said, and God saw that it was good. But then, here in chapter number 2, it's the Lord God. You know why? God had made man. And He said, that word is a word for personal. God said, I'm not going to be personal with the trees. It's not me about me having a personal relationship with the animals. It's not about me having a personal relationship with my creation. It's about God having a personal relationship with that chief of the creation, man. God said, I want you to know that I'll have a relationship with you. I'll commune with you. I'll be personal with you. All right? So I'm glad that God is personal with me. Don't you ever believe somebody when they tell you, oh, God doesn't care what's going on in your life. That's a lie, my friend. Hear me now. God does care what's going on in your life. God not only cares, He understands. And God not only cares and understands, He's willing to get involved and help you do something about it. I'm so glad that God has revealed that to me. So in the beginning, now if you would, as we hasten to close, look if you would to John. I'm just going to give you these, and we may pick up here. Turn to the Gospel of John just for a moment, okay? Because I'm not going to rush through this, because I want you to learn some things. Now, in John chapter number 1, we have another beginning. Here's the second time in the Scripture that this is used. Has anyone thought of a third? First John, good, good. What about a fourth? It is a little harder. It is. Anyone? All right, just keep thinking. Well, don't think too hard while I'm preaching. Well, think real hard while I'm preaching, but don't think about that fourth one. Amen. All right, here we go. Boy, I tell you, a preacher tells you not to think when he's preaching, he must be about half gone. You think a lot when I'm preaching, just don't be thinking about that fourth time. All right, here we go. John 1, you there? Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See that? In the beginning. Now, this is not talking about time. Oh, listen to me now. This is not talking about time. This is talking about before time. This is not talking about when God created. Listen to me. In the beginning was the Word. What about that? And the Word was with God. This is before creation. This goes back before Genesis 1:1. Yes. This goes back when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost had perfect communion together. As a matter of fact, if you'll just hold your place right there and turn over to John chapter 17, the greatest prayer that's ever left a man's lips, the Lord Jesus. In John 17, Jesus referred to that time. And what? And I don't have time to go into all this, but I just want to whet your appetite a little bit. I'm talking to you about a time when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost birthed salvation. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain. Hear me now. When you go through the scripture and you find that phrase, before the foundation of the world, you'll find it in Revelation 13:8. You'll find it in 1 Peter chapter number 1 in verses 18 through 20. You'll find it before the foundations of the world. Here in John 17, look if you would in verse number 5. John 17, are you there? Look at verse 5. Just as Jesus praying in what we call the high priestly prayer. And he said, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self." Now watch this phrase. "With the glory which I had with thee before the world was." See, that's John 1:1 right there. Oh my. What a glory. You know what? When you read this, you'll find out where God said, "I want to share that with you. I want you to be a part." As a matter of fact, he said, "I want us to be one together." God said, "I want you to experience what real glory is." Did you know that most people's lives are miserable? Miserable. Your life doesn't have to be miserable. You can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now that doesn't mean you won't have sorrow. That doesn't mean you won't have heartache. It just means in the midst of that, God can give you some joy and some peace, and you can experience some glory. Could you just imagine what this time was? A time when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost said, "We're going to save mankind one day." And Jesus said, "I'll go." And God sent his Son. Are you listening? God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So this beginning, as we go back to John chapter 1, goes back before Genesis 1. It goes back when God was with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, that triune God, and they had a glory. And they were birthing salvation before the foundation of the world. And then the third time that the beginning is used, and we'll say more about this one, but turn to Mark chapter 1. Would you turn there? Did you guess it? Mark chapter 1. Did you guess it? In Mark chapter 1, we have a very important beginning. All right? So we have the beginning of time when God said, "I'm going to give you time so that you can measure and experience and so that you can have a knowledge of things and schedule and places in life that you are." But then he said, "I want to tell you about a time when you were in the mind of God before you were ever in the womb of your mother. God had you in mind. It was a time when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost had glory in eternity past." You say, "Preacher, how can that be?" I want you to understand something about the God that we serve. I think some people's God is so small that they don't even trust him with their problems. Can I tell you, you can either have a big God and small problems or big problems and a small God. I choose to have big God and small problems. And I have problems just like you have problems. But by the grace of God, problems are not going to dictate my life. I want God to guide my life, and I believe you do too. Mark chapter number 1. Look at verse 1. The beginning. Here's another beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, this is a great beginning. Because had God just made time and just created the heaven and the earth, and had God just enjoyed that time together before man was ever brought to being, before God began his creative work as we know it in time, called the heaven and the earth, had man come into this life without a way to God, we'd be in a serious mess. But I'm glad that God created the gospel.
Amen.
Now I want you to listen very carefully. Don't you ever believe, well, you know, those in the Old Testament preacher, they kept the law and they got to heaven. Now, you don't get to heaven by keeping the law. Nobody does. As a matter of fact, nobody can keep the law. Nobody's ever kept the law. Only Jesus kept the law. Amen. See, those in the Old Testament were looking at the coming of Jesus to die for our sin. We're over here in the New Testament, and we're looking back at the fact that he did come. And he died for our sin. It takes just as much faith to believe he's going to come as it did that he did come. Say amen with me now. So don't you think, well, those Old Testament saints, they got to heaven different, preacher. No, they didn't. Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, if you read Galatians chapter 1, chapter 3, in verse number 8, it says that God preached the gospel to Abraham. He did, through types, through shadows. The Old Testament saints, they prophesied of this salvation. This is the realization of it right here. Old John said, here it is, boys. Listen to me now. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The beginning of the gospel. Thank God for the gospel.
Amen.
Are you glad for the gospel? I am so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm glad for the gospel. And then finally, there's a lot to be said here. But I'm going to go to the final one. Somebody mentioned it in 1 John. So we have the beginning. In the beginning, I think sometimes when, as you go to 1 John chapter 1, I think sometimes when people think, well, you know, in the beginning, yeah, that's Genesis and God created. Hey, listen. That's not all there is. God was before that. God didn't just show up. God didn't just come into existence then. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. They were together before the creative work began. And they had a glory. And Jesus said, I pray one day that these of ours will be able to experience that glory with us. See, God finishes creative work. But if you'll study the life of Jesus, now listen to me, you'll find where Jesus had a work too. He finished it too. See, God said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4, He said, I'm finished. He rested and he said, I'm finished with my creative work. But Jesus came and he said, I have a work to do too. Isn't that what he said? He said, I have a work to do. My Father has sent me to do a work. And Jesus had a work to do. And can I tell you, when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, he cried out, it is finished. Jesus finished his work too.
Amen.
He did. And it was the work of the gospel that Mark spoke about in Mark chapter number 1 when he said the beginning of the gospel. That was the beginning of it. But can I tell you, John 19 is the end of it. He finished it. He finished his work. Amen. I'm glad that God didn't leave it half done. Say, well, I've done half of it. You do the other half. Aren't you glad God finished it all, brethren? God finished it all. The work of salvation is complete. If you want to go to heaven, you can go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ. Any person that does not go to heaven will not get there because they did not trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. The good news is you can trust it. It's completed. And then finally, 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning. You know what this book's about? It's about God manifesting himself. As a matter of fact, look if you would in verse number 2, and was manifested unto us. You see that? Look. The first part of verse 2 says, this life was manifested. The last part said it was manifested. See, God did all this, and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do, folks. He said, I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with man. I'm going to share myself. God says this now. The God who made those stars that you see at night. The God who created that sun that's out there shining. I tell you, you might think I've got a little pea brain, and maybe I do. Might be a little bigger than you think. Might be a little smaller than I think. I am just amazed. at how God created the sun and put it in the sky, and it's just been hanging there. It's just a big ball of fire. We don't have to keep, you know, sending rocket ships up there to fuel it up or nothing. I mean, it's just been burning. You say, how long has it been burning? Oh, I don't know, thousands and thousands of years. And it's never burned out. You say, wow, what a coincidence. That must have been a big old bang. Something's been burning for thousands of years. And it's just far enough away from us not to burn us up or to freeze us. It just keeps us warm in the four seasons, you know, sometimes a little warmer than others. Hey, God did that. God did that. He manifests himself to us. You ought to find somewhere today before you close your day and get on your knees and say, God, I want to thank you that you manifested yourself to mankind. You didn't have to do that. And more importantly, Lord, notice what John said here in 1 John. I want to manifest the last part of verse number 2 unto us. Thank you for manifesting yourself to me, Lord. Amen. And then if you'll read this, you'll see where they experienced him. They touched and they heard and they saw. I'm so glad I've experienced God. You say, preacher, that sounds a little, it sounds exactly what it is. I had a divine encounter with God October the 26th, 1980. I got saved. I got born again. God came into my life as he convicted me of my sin, and I accepted him as my personal Savior. God manifested himself to me, and I experienced God's salvation. I didn't just hear about it. I didn't just read about it. I accepted it. I experienced God's salvation. That's what this beginning's about. But then there's a third, and this will be the final thing. Notice, if you would, what it says. Verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare. God said, hey, now that you know, let's all stand to our feet. Now that you know, go tell some people. Amen? Go tell some people. Go tell them what, preacher? Go tell them what a wonderful God you serve. Go tell them what a powerful God you have. He made it all. He manifested himself. He was gracious to send his son to die, the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that your sin could be forgiven and you could have a personal relationship with God and a home reserved for you in heaven. He said, now go declare it. Go declare it. God have mercy on us for not sharing this wonderful news with people. This is wonderful. It'd be terrible for us to go through life and know what this Bible teaches and not share it with other people. It's wonderful. Do you know God? I'm going to ask the pianist to come. Do you know him? You say, well, I know about him. No. That wasn't the question. Sometimes we get confused on an answer because we don't listen to the question. The question is not, do you know about God? Do you know him? Have you met him? Has he introduced himself to you? Have you responded to him? Have you received him? Have you accepted his forgiveness? And eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that you have.